Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Now, I've prayed these words, I don't know, hundreds of times, thousands of times. It's part of the daily office. But it's amazing how, in a different context, or maybe when I'm in it, just a different space, how something else can emerge. It's often something that has been in plain view the entire time. I just couldn't see it. So it happened this past week. I was praying with this passage known as the Nunc Dimittis. And once again, but this time, I heard these words differently. Lord, you now have set your servant free. Set your servant free. Free. It's like a parting of the clouds. And so in my prayer, I began to wonder, what did Simeon need to be set free from? Or, what was it that Simeon was set free for? What does it mean to be set free? You may have heard me before reference Madeleine L'Engle's The Irrational Season and the section in which she writes about the freedom that is inherent in marriage. Now, I realize that may seem somewhat anachronistic for our contemporary ears, freedom and marriage. Because I think so often we equate freedom as the state of being unbounded, right? Being free from something or being free from someone. Right? And it can be that way, free from government, free from oppression, free from societal norms. But L'Engle, in exploring freedom and marriage, actually points us to a different understanding of freedom. It's an understanding where even when you know the risks that lay ahead, you still choose to give yourself freely to another. You don't have to, but this is how you choose to spend your freedom. It's a kind of freedom, then, that is one of participation rather than of possession. No longer do you need to cling to something in order to keep it. For to live for another is to know this kind of freedom. Last week, in reflecting on Jesus calling the disciples to be fishers of people, the Reverend Michael Lemaire left us with an image of fishing and of being in relationship with God. It was not one of being hauled ashore and eaten, thank God, because frankly, that's how many conversion images around fishing are. But it was of being caught and then released, set free. And this week there is, I believe, a similar theme flowing through our texts, because the writer of the letter to the Hebrews names one of the most destructive shackles that binds us on this earth. It's perhaps the most primal fear that we carry in this life, and it is of death. It is written, "He himself shared the same thing, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." Free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. These past 2 weeks have tested and tried many in this parish. As members of our family of all souls have lost children, parents, and siblings. And these past 2 weeks, we have been given diagnoses of cancer, have awaited surgery, are in the midst of treatment, and are waiting for what comes next. And these past 2 weeks, it has been made abundantly clear to us that there are indeed soul-piercing times in this sojourn of life. And so we come to this day mindful of what we have lost. And given the changes and the chances of life, what we have seen in others and what we have known in ourselves, we come this day painfully aware of what can be. And sometimes with this awareness can creep a fear that can paralyze, keeping us from stepping outside of our most secure spheres of control. But I have a feeling that I don't need to tell you of the suffocation that accompanies that fear. And so I, in these past few weeks, have been left with this question, which I think many of us have. How are we to live? How are we to live in a culture that is so convulsed by the fear of death? What is our response in this darkness? Well, one of the most piercing responses that I have known in these past 2 weeks came from someone who has lost the most. Last Saturday at Camp Galilee in Lake Tahoe, we gave thanks for the short life of a baby of this parish family, Fritz Titchener. We told stories. We sang of loss and of love and even of hope. We came around a table like this one to know Jesus in bread and in wine and in one another. We laid Fritz's remains to rest, and handful by handful, we began to fill the void within us. And then, later that night, several of Liz and Jesse's family and friends gathered around a campfire by the shores of the lake. As the cold night air pressed down upon them, Jesse rose to speak. And those who had stood shoulder to shoulder with him and with Liz earlier that day waited. And this is roughly what Jesse said to his loved ones. He said, "Friends, today has shown us how fragile life can be. What are you going to do in the next year to live?" And from that question, asked on the edge of darkness, light began to grow. One by one, people began to offer from the depth of their beings what mattered to them, what really mattered to them, what they wanted to give to this world that simply could not wait. Because we are only promised our daily bread and no more. And yet, we must continue to live. Friends, our lives are not simply about being kept safe from the fear of death, but also about being free, being set free for the lives that we are meant to lead. For physical death, the death of our bodies, is not the only death that keeps us bound. There are thousands of deaths that keep us trapped in fear. The shame we may live with, the shame that keeps us from truly offering ourselves just as we are to a world that is in desperate need of us as gift. The fear of failure, the fear of exposure that can gnaw at us from the inside out. Friends, even in our darkest hour, we can trust. We can trust that even at the end, that life is the final word. And that light, the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness does not, will not overcome it. Even in the bitter pain and the unspeakable loss, in this we can trust. And so once again, Jesse's words. Friends, today has shown us how fragile life can be. What are you going to do in this next year to live? It has been said that a society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they will never sit in. Maybe it's because I've been spending time with the annual reports of 25 and 50 years ago from this parish, but this past week I've been holding this ancient Greek proverb alongside Simeon's declaration in the temple. For Simeon knows that he will never see this Jesus to grow up and be a man. He will never see the deeds of healing or hear the stories of an already present kingdom. He will never see him acknowledged by others as the Messiah. But he is drawn into the temple by the Spirit. Something in Simeon knows that this is the one, and that his waiting has come to an end, that he is now to be released. He is to be set free. And through his words, and I think possibly even more in his gesture of picking up and holding this baby Jesus, he plants the tree that his mortal life will not know the shade of. Now, we may not realize this most of the time, but these very pews and these chairs that we sit upon, the roof over our heads, the stories that uphold us, all of these have been planted for us and for those to follow. Often this has been done by the Annas and the Simeons, those who never were to see the branching and the budding of the trees that had been planted. Whether it is a vestment or a godly play parable, a baptismal font, a bank of lights, a heartfelt embrace, or a conversation in which someone truly listens, the trees we plant far outlive us. But we must have the faith, the trust to plant them. So I ask this to be on our hearts, in our minds this year, for all of us as we are sent, because we are all sent from this church into our work, into our families, into this city, this state, and this country, and in a way, into this parish for all souls in Berkeley. And this is true for those of us who feel like our days are numbered, and for those of us who look out on what seems to be an infinite horizon. And so I ask, what is it going to be? Trusting that we are released, that we are being set free. What will you do? What will I do? This day, this week, this year, what will we do to live, to plant, to give life, and to give witness to the light that shines, no matter the darkness?